Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Secret Artists, funny people doing art, what's not to love. I'm your host, Annie McGrath, and I'm joined today by the fantastic actor, Eleanor Matsura, whose chosen activity for the podcast was candle magic. Ooh, which I didn't realise was a thing until we started recording. I loved talking to Eleanor. We chatted about her various TV appearances, including her starring role in The Walking Dead, which has just had its COVID-delayed season 10 finale. We also chatted about art, of course, and about a massive commission I recently did for Eleanor's husband's 50th birthday, which is now up in their kitchen. And if you're interested, you can see a photo of it on my Instagram page at mcgrath.art. Enjoy the episode, and if you want to see what this candle magic madness looks like, then follow us on Instagram and Twitter at secretartpod.
This is my worst part of the podcast. It feels a bit strange reading like a biography to your face, but
I love it. Can't wait. But,
okay. Eleanor Matsura is an excellent actor, best known for her roles in The Walking Dead, Sherlock, Spooks the Greater Good, Utopia, and Cuffs. Aside from her extensive television and film appearances, Eleanor is highly regarded in the world of theatre. She trained at the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama and has been in numerous West End shows, as well as performing for the Royal Shakespeare Company. I'm very excited about Eleanor coming on the podcast because we met through the medium of art.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Slash Instagram.
But. Yeah, I know. Is that really weird to say now that people have met through Instagram? Because I've actually met quite a few people now through Instagram, and I always feel like I'm of the generation that still finds it weird.
You know, I find it weird, definitely.
Yeah, like I still find it like, oh, is that a bit creepy that, like, you know, I stalked you through Instagram and met you, and everyone's, you know, people now are like, younger people are like, no, yeah. Not at all. But I'm still like, oh, I feel like it's weird. I remember when I reached out to you on Instagram and I was really apologetic. I was like, hi, sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I just really love your art. So,
yeah, never apologize for saying that.
Yeah, that's true.
So Eleanor reached out to me on Instagram. So I got the pleasure of doing a commission for her husband's 50th birthday.
Yeah, big
idea. So it's the biggest painting I've ever done. It's like 6 foot wide, 3 foot tall. And it was so fun because I feel like we worked quite collaboratively on it.
We did.
Normally when people give me a commission to do, it's quite like, it depends on the person, but often it's like, here's a photo. Can you do a sort of representation of it? But I feel like we got quite imaginative and used Wes Anderson as inspiration for like the colors and symmetry.
Yeah, like I gave you like some things and like sentimental memories, or like steered you in the direction, didn't I, of certain things that I thought would really work to sort of be added as ideas into a painting, but I really had no idea about what that was going to look like. And I just remember looking at your work, and there was, you know, I love, really truly love all of your paintings. There were certain ones that really jumped out, and I was like, I know that that my husband's really going to love that. So
I hope he does.
I'm so excited.
Yeah,
this is the wall where it will go.
I know, I thought that when I saw you sitting. It's your kitchen, isn't it?
So
it's going to go hopefully in pride of place.
Exactly. At the moment it looks a bit like a sort of wall that like a 90s comedian would stand in. You know what I mean, like those weird stand-up walls. That's why we need to get some really lovely
Oh, I like it. Love a bit of exposed brick in the house.
Exactly. Yeah, it's nice. Real trendy.
But yeah, the photos you sent me were beautiful. They were from your honeymoon, is that right? In Myanmar?
That's right. Yeah. Myanmar, Burma. We went, so what was that? Must have been 2013. And it was the most magical trip. And we just got like, you know, we had the most incredible memories. But also I remember the place was unlike anywhere I'd ever been before. And we took the most amazing photographs there because everything just looked like some sort of oil painting or beautiful, like filtered picture, which is a terrible thing to say because of course it wasn't filtered, it was real life, but it looked like the kind of thing you'd see, you know, you'd see on Instagram all filtered up, but it was just so naturally gorgeous and rich. And and so I wanted to incorporate some of those images that we have.
They're beautiful. But yeah. I remember when you sent them to me, I was like, I felt a bit strange about recreating them because they felt like artworks in themselves. Like they're such beautiful photographs. Fingers crossed he likes it anyway.
Oh, I think he's going to love it. Oh, yeah. I think he's going to absolutely love it. Yeah.
So yeah, usually on this podcast, I get the guests to decide on a sort of muse for us to draw or paint whilst we have a chat. But you've come up with a sort of different idea, which I love.
I was thinking.
Eleanor emailed me this morning and was like, how do you feel about candle dressing, like dressing candles? And I was like, absolutely no idea what it is, but I'm into it.
I've been doing this thing recently which is like I think you can call it candle dressing or you can call it candle magic, and I realize, you know, saying it I probably sound a bit insane, so that's why I like emailed you really cautiously, like, oh god, Annie, I just like, look, I've got this idea. It's what I've been doing. And I don't know if it counts as art, but it's definitely artsy. It's crafty. Yeah. And it requires, you know, creativity and a little, not skill, but like, you know, a little bit of intention with what you're, with you know, how creative you're being.
And you're an actor and it's like dressing the candle up like a character.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so I was like, you know what? This is what I'd be doing anyway. Like I've spent a lot of time these last few weeks really getting into it. And I just thought, well, considering I'd be doing that anyway, maybe I just had a light bulb moment. I was like, oh, maybe we should do that.
I love that you're like, well, that's what I'd be doing anyway, as if that's really obvious. What else would you be doing if you weren't doing a podcast?
You know, dressing candles. Like, absolutely. Yeah, dressing candles. Also, like, kind of absolutely nothing. Like, this year's been so weird in terms of, you know, like everything, but work not happening. And you know, I have a 2.5-year-old, so I've been pretty busy being a mum and running around after her. But aside from that, everything just feels really topsy turvy at the moment and really all over the place. And I found myself in this kind of crossroads, I suppose, in my life where I sort of really don't know what I want to do and where I want to go and what I want to, you know, I'm just in a sort of place where I'm curious about what the next stage in life brings.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, sometimes comes a lot of anxiety about, you know, like what's around the corner and uncertainty and stuff. And I have a really, really good friend who's very like witchy woo and someone who I love and trust very, very much. And she was like, listen, just start like channeling like your focus and try sort of like try this. I do like candle magic and I'm just like, just try it. And I was like, okay. So I've been doing that for the past like week and a half, 2 weeks.
Amazing. And you found it's helped channel your anxiety?
I think so. I think it has. Because
at the very least, I guess it's a distraction, isn't it? From
exactly. Life. And it does feel like a point of focus, like if you're somebody who likes to meditate or do anything like that, you know, it is quite meditative and it is, like you said, a point of focus to sort of channel in your intentions.
I tell you who would love this. Have you met Lou Sanders before?
No, I haven't.
She's a comedian who's also been on the podcast. She's great, but she's very into spirituality and crystals. And I think this would be bang up her street.
Oh my gosh, I have to find her. I have to find her and we have to chat spells and shit.
Yeah, she'd love it.
Yeah.
Actually, Mae Martin's quite into spells and sort of burning your What's that thing where you burn like your intention, not intentions, the opposite of intentions, probably. But anyway.
Well, also like you can burn, it's really burning good to, like burning stuff away. Exactly. Like negative energy. So like for example, over, you can't see this now, I'll turn you over in a minute, but like over there, I've got, this is going to sound really dark, I've got a black candle burning with a mirror like facing towards my neighbor's house, because I've basically got this neighbor who is an absolute prick, and he is just kind of been causing us a lot of trouble recently. So you do something really simple, like you light a black candle, turn a mirror towards his house, and just...
And is Trevor, your husband, is he into the sort of negative energy stuff as well, or... I think does he just let you get on with it?
I think he's letting me get on with it right now. Yeah. I think he's maybe slightly worried. He kind of started looking at me like, okay, there's a lot of candles that have suddenly started appearing in the house.
He's keeping an eye on it, definitely.
Yeah, he's just like letting me do my thing. But I can tell he's sort of like, why is that there? And why have we suddenly got mirrors reflecting back? And, you know, like he's definitely noticing it, and has been very politely just letting me crack on. But
it's been a tough year for everyone.
Exactly. We're surviving.
Some slack.
Surviving the only way we know how, which is candle magic, apparently.
God, I've learned so much already. And what candle have you got? Have you got a figurative one? Or...
So like you can have like a little cheap tea light like this, like that's totally fine. And I take like a plate. So I've just got like a disposable, this is like a biodegradable like paper plate. And if you don't have like a disposable plate, you could make, you could put like some foil over, you know, over just like a ceramic plate or whatever.
I've got this little glass dish.
Oh, look, perfect.
It's quite small though. Perfect. But I also had no idea what we were doing.
Yes, so that's true.
I just sort of grabbed something that I was like, yeah, a candle can go on that.
A candle can totally go on that. And there's enough room to sort of dress stuff around it. Because essentially what you're doing is you're making like a little altar, I suppose. It's like a little kind of area where your candle will burn with a particular intention. And you want to sort of surround it with all with things to sort of help the intention kind of really like burn well. So so like I've got this plate here, which is like about whatever, I don't know, 12 inches across, something like that. And I've got it so it's disposable, so I don't have to worry about like ruining, you know, a nice ceramic plate. And then I'm gonna take like, let me see. I've been burning so many candles that I've actually been kind of run out of like white candles. Okay, so I'm gonna use a pink one.
I love this image of you just spending a week just sort of burning candles while your daughter's at nursery.
I know. It's so weird. And now, like, I don't know if you ever, if you're like this, if you ever really get into something or you get, like, I will really get into something for, like, a period of time and, like, really give it all that I've got. And I hope this doesn't, you know, dwindle out. But I tend to sort of really go for it. And so to the point where, like, I've been burning so many candles, I get a little bit freaked out if one of them goes out. And I haven't got one lit as soon as I get in. I know. And then I start to get a bit paranoid, like, oh God, what if something really awful happens if I don't like
And does your smoke alarm work just from a sort of safety point of view?
Oh, yeah, it does. No, it does. Great. That's a really good point. And also if you are really paranoid and insane, I mean, obviously that's, I would say like even these like plates and stuff, like obviously like cover them in foil, don't leave them in a place, like don't leave them unattended and like go out while a candle's burning in your house.
If you're doing this at home, then just be careful.
if you're doing this at home basically, first of all, find someone else that can explain this to you better, because I'm clearly unqualified, but I'm going to carry on explaining it to you regardless. So I'm going to take this, like, so I'm going to use mine as like a pink candle.
Okay.
It's like a really calming color and it's like really, really nice and whatever. Mm-hmm. First of all, I have to try and figure out a way of sticking it onto the plate. But maybe I can do that later. Maybe I can burn it, like melt some wax onto the plate and sort of stick it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know what I mean? So I'll figure that out in a second. But what I might do is carve something into it that I really want to, that is part of this idea of like protection and kind of calmness and happiness in my house. So like one of the things I could do is carve, like, write the names of all my family on it. I could write my name, my husband's name, my daughter's name, my cat's names if I wanted to, you know, just put everybody there on the candle. And then I could put, like, I don't know, like a word that I keep coming back to at the moment is alignment. So like, because everything is a little bit out of sorts and wobbly in my life at the moment, a lot of the things that I keep coming back to is like, okay, what am I really, what really makes me happy? What is sort of the true, what's my true reason for being here? You know, what kind of work do I want to do? What kind of mum do I want to be? Do I sound insane? I mean, basically this is the kind of thoughts that I've been having. So all of that stuff comes back to like aligning everything with like my true self or my true kind of purpose. So I might put that word on it. I might put like alignment on it, and I'll know what that means in terms of why I'm burning this candle. So if that kind of makes any sort of sense to you, then that's
I'll do.
You'll
so like be carving you, that.
Something like that.
Also, I know in your email you said we could put sort of rose petals around it.
Yeah.
And I happened to, so two of my best friends were supposed to get married in June, but obviously couldn't lock down. So I'd been making all this confetti for them. So I weirdly do have a lot of spare flower petals.
So perfect.
So I've got this box for Sophie and Ed. Their wedding's now next June, so I think it will probably go mouldy by then. But I don't know if you can see that. So that's a different.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah, put some petals around there. So things like that would be good, especially if you're, well, what are you dedicating your altar to? Maybe that's a better question.
I wonder whether I should dedicate it to Sophie and Ed for their wedding.
Oh,
that didn't happen.
That's a brilliant idea. That is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be really lovely. Because then, so then, you know, you can imagine if you're dedicating it to sort of to love, really, right? Love and love. Hope and all those things, all those things that you want at a wedding, which is, you know.
Love in the face of adversity.
Yes,
which is
exactly.
What this year has been.
Exactly. So then things like rose petals, perfect for that. I mean, you know, really, you can do anything, but like things like rose petals are perfect. What's also really great is salt. So like if you put salt around the rim or like, just around the edges or a circle sort of around the edge of the plate. Because salt is really, it's known for being very protective and very cleansing and sort of warding off, keeping bad things out, you know, being really sort of my basic description of it, but like basically, you know, old school keeping away the bad vibes.
So, you're supposed to throw salt in the over your left shoulder in the eye of the devil, aren't you?
That's right. Yeah. So like it's a really powerful and really like easy way to you know kind of create that sort of vibe. So you could sprinkle salt all around the edge. I've got some sea salt here in my little pot. Hi.
Of course I have.
She's been dressing candles for a week now, guys. Of course she's got some salt in a pot.
Not your first candle.
Exactly. This ain't my first time at the candle dressing shop. Okay, so I've just carved my daughter's name into here. I'm going to do my husband's name.
Did you find creative things and art generally quite sort of therapeutic? It seems you do.
I really do. I really don't do it a lot. I miss it terribly. I say miss it. I don't have anything that I go to, and I think, I think I'd really benefit from it. I'd love to learn how to paint or draw properly. It's such a brilliant thing to do. I never think to do it. You know.
Yeah. You've been quite busy as well.
Walking
Dead.
Yeah, killing zombies.
Was that really fun to be in?
Yeah, it is fun to be in. It feels really surreal talking about it at the moment because it's just so, I would have been there right now shooting season 11 and, you know, close to finishing it. And but with it, everything happening this year, all of it's been basically pushed to next year. And it sort of feels like, because I shoot it in Georgia and, you know, I've spent the whole of this year at home in the UK, you know, it feels like some sort of fever dream or something. Like, I don't
know.
I feel like, do I really do that? Is that really a thing I do? Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'm in Georgia and I do that zombie thing, you know. So it does feel very surreal. but it is fun, you know. It's definitely a cool, it's one of the cooler jobs. That I've had just because it's, you know, by virtue of just being able to run around with a bow and arrow and like
that's everyone's
dream job, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's not bad. Yeah. It's not a bad, it's a ridiculous way to make money, but, you know, it's not bad. And I do enjoy it, so.
And did you, were you a fan of it before you got cast in it? Did you watch
nope.
it?
Never watched a single episode. I mean, obviously, I told them that I did. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I love this show. I watched all the time. I hadn't watched a single episode. And then I...
Speed watched. Series.
Which is a lot. That is a lot of episodes. And it's like... what was cool about it was it's very bingeable, the show. So... I didn't have much time when I found out I got the part, and by the time I started the job, I think I had something like 3 weeks really to kind of prepare. So I watched a lot of Walking Dead in a short space of time.
Yeah, 3 weeks isn't very long to prepare for a show like that.
Yeah, exactly. It was really mad. And you know, we were moving country because my daughter was, she wasn't even one yet. So I had to go with my whole family. It was like we were doing a massive family move over to America, and it was all really stressful. But anyway, in the middle of it, I had to like kind of binge watch The Walking Dead. And even though it was quite a lot to take on, it was also like kind of cool to finish it and step right into the show.
Definitely.
It was like there was something quite lovely about kind of going, oh, I'm part of this world. And then I literally got off the plane and walked onto set and felt like I just stepped into the show, which is actually really cool.
Like, guys, I've just been watching this show.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, it's you! I just saw you on the show.
There's quite heavy sort of artistry involved in the show as well, I would say. Like all the zombies makeup, and it's visually very arty, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The makeup on the show is pretty incredible, I have to say. I'm actually surprised they haven't won a bunch of stuff or been nominated for a bunch of stuff. Like, not that shit really matters, but, you know, what they do, what they accomplish is incredible, you know.
Yeah.
The time and the skill and the detail that goes into each individual walker, you know, they're always really inventive as well. They're like, the walker, so that's like their word for zombie, a walker who's like been washed up on the beach. So they'll spend, you know, the art department will spend weeks and weeks getting the bloating of the face and the decay of the eyes and the skin kind of hanging off really working. And or they'll make a sort of suit and put it on top of an extra or not an extra, but you know, somebody who's playing the walker.
A supporting artist, I think.
Thank you. The supporting artist. Yeah. Forgot the terminology then. This is how long it's been in lockdown. I can't even remember the words. But yeah, you know, you see the final image, even without, you know, a bit of CGI sprinkled on top or you know, like, it's incredible. It really, they are pieces of art. They're absolutely extraordinary. So this is the bit where you're actually dressing the candle. Dressing the candle basically means like, literally like this. Like, say I put a couple of drops of lavender oil.
Because when you said dressing the candle, I am so ignorant, and I thought you meant, I imagined like Sylvanian family clothes, like putting a little, so I actually brought some sort of wrapping paper because I thought I might have to cut out like a t-shirt and a bra out of...
Oh my god, that's amazing. But also,
which maybe
like,
I should still do.
Maybe you should still do that. Yeah. Like,
and I brought some ribbon.
Perfect. Ribbon's perfect.
So maybe I will just dress it up.
Yeah,
Some sort of human clothes.
But here's the thing. This is what makes it, like, because Sylvanian family dressing, that's really cute. And also, like, I should have thought of that too. I have a bunch of Sylvanian family stuff. My kids' Sylvanian family's clothes next door. Anyway, but this is what dressing actually means. It looks really phallic, so I really, really apologise. Basically, what you want to do is get the oil on the candle and do this.
No. But who's taught you to do this? I'm not sure how legit this is. And we've got Elena Matsura here wanking off a candle.
I'm just wanking off a candle, guys. Basically, you do this. I have to explain this.
Your kid's out of the room, right, when you do this?
I told you, she's outside. I left her outside. She'll be fine. Guys, I'm a great parent.
I can't take this seriously. I'm sorry.
I've got to explain it. Wait, you've got to let me explain it, because otherwise it will just look like I'm wanking off candle. So, okay. Yeah. So, look, the point being, you have to go from like the base to the tip,
the shaft
to the tip, right? And that means like you want more of something. So, you're like, that's like your like abundance or alignment. If you were doing like a hex or like you know, like bad juju, like I was talking about the neighbor, you go down because you want to reduce something. So you want to reduce their energy coming.
Reduce the size of the candle.
Exactly. Right. But really, to get it up is to just get it down.
Make it flaccid. Yeah. Okay.
I just want to establish that that's what dressing a candle is.
Anyway, I love that demonstration.
Have fun with your ribbon.
Yeah, I know. God, I feel so sort of twee and innocent now.
No,
like I'm gonna put some clothes on mine, and you're fully lubing up.
I'm just like lubing up. I just wanked off a candle on your podcast.
Yeah, no one's ever done that before. Weirdly,
I mean, it's so weird that that hasn't happened before. Gosh, yeah. I can't believe I'm the first. It's so bizarre.
Okay. By the way, I watched the Spooks the Greater Good. It was so good. Yeah, I really loved it.
Did you? That's so funny. I had a nice time on that show. That was really, I really did the show, film.
You had such a fun part.
Yeah.
Running around.
I'm always playing like, like the kind of po-faced, like, oh, wow, this is bad. I used to play two characters, basically. I'd always play like a bitch in a suit or a prostitute. Like for years, those were the two roles that I would always play.
Why do you think that is?
It's because of my cold, mean face. It's because of my cold, cold heart and my mean, mean face. I don't know. I think they're just sort of naturally those kind of roles. I look the way I look, my demeanor. I don't know. Those are the roles I'd always get cast as. And then once you do a few of them, I suppose people get used to you doing it and want to get you back for more of that kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah.
So it did get a little bit repetitive after a while, but with Spooks, at least I was like, I felt like I had a bit more of, they'd written her as a bit more well-rounded, and I had like a little bit more of her. She was more human than just, you know, jobs worth in a suit trying to like do good.
Powerful, sassy. Although I liked that there was no like romantic interest, because I felt at one point like, was it your character and Kit Harington?
Yeah,
I was like, they're gonna fuck.
I know, right?
But always. I quite like that, you know.
Yes, yeah.
Women don't always have to, you know, be having sex with the male lead.
Me too. I'm so relieved with that as well. And I remember that being a conversation that was had, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think, you know, my character, I think it was written originally as a man, and then they changed it. And then, you know, there's the obvious discussion of like, oh, well, if, you know, there's a man and a woman working together, obviously there's got to be sexual tension. And it was like, no, there doesn't. There doesn't have to be, actually. They could just be two colleagues working together, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Or if it was a male part, they could also have a, you know, romantic interest.
Exactly. Exactly that. And I think, you know, even now I wonder how, like, if something like Spooks of the Greater Good would still be made, like maybe, you know, there's less interest now to sort of have a film like that with two white male leads. Like, you know, I don't know if that's true. There's probably a bunch of stuff being made with loads of white men running around being white men. But you know, I just think it was, they started to become aware of like, okay, my character was originally meant to be a guy. Let's change it to a woman. Let's make sure it's not a white woman. And so, you know, I think they were trying to be as sort of attentive to my character being, I don't know, not typical, not sort of cliche as possible when I came on board. So that was kind of cool. It was cool that I got thanks, mate. That's nice. Yeah. I had a good time. I never, you know, I haven't watched Game of Thrones at all, so I don't know whether that was stood in my favor working with Kit or not, but I could see people going absolutely bananas for him, like, and I remember thinking, that's so strange. Like, are you a Game of Thrones person?
No, I have literally never seen it. And
have
I feel
you tried?
Like, no, I actually haven't tried. I feel like it's one of those things that I'm beyond the point, like, I don't know where to start. I'd start at the series one, episode one, but you know, and it feels like such a massive commitment.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was like,
and I know that it's supposed to be amazing, and I know everyone talks about it, but I mean,
okay,
I'm glad that you haven't either.
Full disclosure, I have tried, but I couldn't get into it. I tried. Oh, really? I tried after, so like, I really had no interest before
You know, when you whisper, we're still recording, by the way.
I know. You can't hear me, right? If I say it really quietly, they'll never know. But just on the off chance that Kit Harington is listening to this, I mean, no, I really didn't watch it before I went with him on Spooks. And then I thought afterwards, I'm going to give that a go. And honestly, I got a few episodes in and I was like, nah. It's not for me.
It doesn't sound like it's for me, but then a lot of people say, oh, I didn't think it was for me either, but I actually really got into it. So it's nice to hear someone say the opposite.
Yeah, I am a lone voice. I am the salmon swimming upstream. It's just not for me. I just was like, oh, dragons, yawn, whatever. Like,
it's such a relief though, isn't it, when you find a series that you don't actually like. So you're like, great, that's one that I don't have to commit to. You have to burn a candle for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I will.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm putting a bra on mine.
That is the cutest bra I've ever seen. Is that a bra of birds?
A bra of birds, yeah.
My God, that's the sweetest thing.
But I haven't done the full strap, so it'll just have to sort of float on top of the boobs.
That's right. There you go. That's what makes it suggestive. Like, could it fall off at any time? Oh, we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it will.
But going back to the whole sort of diversity thing and things changing, I feel like The Walking Dead is definitely going in the right direction.
Yeah.
That's pretty diverse as shows go.
They've done really well, I have to say. Like, they are definitely, like, way ahead in terms of, like, making sure that their cast is sort of eclectic, diverse. Are these the right words? Probably. I'm going to use them. You know, they're it's just a mixed bag of people, ages, races, genders. Yeah. It's like... And what I love about it is that it's not a big deal. You know what I mean? It's not a character trait. Like, I've played characters before where they've said, like, oh, this is your character. She's a lesbian. And that's the character description. And I'm like, you know, that's your sexuality isn't a personality trait. It's like, you know, this isn't the most interesting thing about this person, or it shouldn't be, you know, you should write a better character than that, a more in-depth character than that. So
yeah,
I feel like with Walking Dead, it's sort of, by the by, you know, that somebody is, if somebody's not white, if somebody gender is fluid, if somebody's sexuality is unknown or not cis or whatever, you know, like I think it's just part of this story. It's not a focal point. And I think that's the key is when you sort of just normalizing all of it. Like,
it's just surprising how rare that still is, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it is.
Especially I find with commercial castings, like, as you say, you'll get a breakdown for a character and it's like, her role, she is the girlfriend of this guy. And you're like, okay, does she have any sort of character traits in and of herself? Or
it's really changed a lot. And I think even in the, like, oh gosh, what I've been doing this for maybe like 20 years, is that right? Maybe not that long. I don't know. But anyway, I've been doing it for a long fucking time. And I feel like things are changing. Like, there's definitely progress being made. But it also feels painfully slow at times, you know? Like, when, yes, The Walking Dead is a phenomenal example of diversity being sort of celebrated and used in the right way. But I can't name a bunch of shows that are doing it. It's still in the few, in the minority, not the majority of shows sort of really embracing that. I don't know. I think it is changing, but it just does feel painfully slow at times, I have to say. Yeah.
I've just made some pants to go with my bra.
Oh, but Oh, exciting.
Actually, I'm going to make them a bit smaller because they're massive.
She's just got to cover that ass.
It's just... Also, they're a weird mixture of like Y fronts and a thong.
Oh, look, perfect. I mean, the dream pant, the combination of the Y front and the thong. Yayoi Kusama.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, I know that doesn't make for a good podcast, me wandering off the mic. No, but that was going to bug me.
I'm glad you came back.
Yeah, she just left and that was it.
We've got her on the screen. She does those amazing, like, big, spotty pumpkin type things.
Yes. And you walk through the, she had like a whole room where you could like walk through, there were like mirrors reflecting everything. Yeah, there she is.
Yeah.
Yayoi Kusama. She's so incredible.
Such a strong look as well with that bright red sort of bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool lady.
Such a cool lady. Like such a fan. I think that's, I just sort of, I'm really somebody who's very much a follower when it comes to artists. I'm not somebody who I'll see something that I'll like, or I'll hear about, you know, an exhibition that's going on and I'll go and I'll go and get involved. And I don't even have a sort of in. I don't have like how I came across you. I think I just saw a picture that on Instagram. I think, were you doing, like, when lockdown first happened, were you raising money for the NHS by selling your paintings? Is that right, though? Did I make that up?
Yeah, no, I was. I was doing Art for Heroes. Yeah, that's right. There was, like, a campaign that someone set up. So I think I donated a drawing, which was raising money for the NHS.
Okay. So something like that. Like, I'd stumble across that and I'd be like, oh, wow, like, those are really beautiful paintings. They're like, oh, my gosh, I really like that one. What's that? And then I'll follow the trail and I'll find you and I'll look at all your art and be like, wow, this is so beautiful. And I suppose... my question is this, it's like, when I like stumbled across your work, I was just like, it drawn to it, not through sort of any kind of appreciation through like the head or like sort of, you know, it was like, it's a feeling. It's just more like, oh, I really love that. And I can't describe why, or that makes me feel really nostalgic and I can't describe why, you know what I mean? And
that's thank you.
Yeah, no, of course, but I really mean it. And I wondered if that's how a lot of art should make you feel, you know, and if that's a rule that other people have for how they connect to something, if they just love it and can't necessarily say why. You know, it might be by a really famous painter or a really well-respected sculptor or whatever, but ultimately it's a piece that you have to look at and be drawn to, and if you're buying it, it's something that you have to be part of your life every day, so surely it should be how it makes you feel.
Definitely, I would agree with that, because there's definitely paintings and drawings that I can see and on like an academic level be like, that's a really good painting, and like the brush marks are very, like, everything's very accurate, or you know, it looks realistic, it looks like a photograph or whatever, but I can still feel like very detached from it. So I would agree with you, like, I would want, if I had something in my house, I would want it to be something that I engage with on more than just like this is a good painting.
Right. Level. Exactly. Yeah. Like something that sort of just makes you feel something. And I think, I know that's what we've achieved with the commission that you've done for us. Cause it's like, I mean, it couldn't be more personal, and that's what's part of the joy of having the collaboration with you. It's just sort of like, I want to be able to look at something and feel that feeling, whatever it is that we created, whatever it is personal to you, I want to be able to have that every time I look at a painting.
I'm so excited to see it in your house. You have to send me a photo once it's up.
I cannot wait. He's gonna cry his eyes out.
I hope
joy.
So
you know, he's a real crier, so like you'll get the full works. It'll be really good. In terms of like artists and sort of having a favorite artist, I think that's my roundabout way of sort of saying I definitely couldn't sort of be like, oh, I really love this person, you know. I sort of hear of the famous ones or hear of the exhibitions, you know, that I should go and see, and like Yayoi Kusama, like, you know, we'll find somebody that I really connect with and go, oh my god, that's brilliant. You must have tons that you love.
I think I'm similar to you in that, you know, there's I'll just see something on Instagram and follow that person, or I'll see particular painters that I like. I really like a guy called Tom Hammock, who
Tom Hammock, okay.
Yeah, he does sort of magical landscapes similar to Peter Doig, who's another one of my favourites. But actually, I started following Tom Hammock on Instagram the other day, and then he followed me back and was like, oh, hey, like, messaged me. And like, this is so weird with Instagram, how you can be like, oh, you're one of my favourite artists. And I said, oh, yeah, I mentioned you on my podcast. And he was like, oh, great, you'll have to pop down to the studio. Like, it's so weird how you can just then be in touch with someone that, like, a fan of their work.
Yeah. I love that though. Isn't that kind of cool?
So yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. What a weird world we live in.
It really is. Is that the sort of the weirdest Instagram connection you've had? Have you had any like really bizarre ones?
I know, it's all just pervy men, isn't it, really, on Instagram? That's why when you were so apologetic about getting in touch, I was like, no, this is lovely and refreshing.
Yeah, it's not a dick pic. So
yeah, exactly.
On the whole, I have really, I've always had really lovely experiences, I have to say. I'm very lucky, I think, mostly because I think the fans that are like follow me because of Walking Dead stuff, I mean, they're based all over the world. Of course they are. It's a wide-reaching show, but like a lot of the fans seem to be in America. And so when I'm here, my life is really like really, really, really separate. And if there are fans around here, I just sort of think like in general, they don't really give a shit. Like nobody really cares. Good. Nobody really... You know, I never get kind of stopped or bothered or, you know, ever.
I think especially in London, people are just so used to being like, oh, isn't that girl off with telly?
Or like, I don't think anyone cares. And I'm you know, and I think that's great. Like, it really suits me just fine being like that. Because, you know, I think I would get freaked out if it was any other way. In fact, I know I would. But luckily, I just don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And how is it being married to another actor that you met in a you met in a play, didn't you?
We met at the RSC. Yeah. So quite a while ago now, 2014 maybe, I think. So yeah, we met at the RSC. We were doing Coriolanus, that well-known hoot of a play.
Yeah.
And and so he's, what can I tell you about Trevor? He's Canadian. He's lived here. He's actually half British, half Canadian, but he grew up in Vancouver, but lived here a really long time. And yeah, we met at doing that show, but we've actually worked together just randomly on quite a lot of things since, which has always been quite nice.
Yeah.
And I guess that's quite handy that we can work well together, because, you know, otherwise.
And great for self-tapes, having a
I have this conversation with him all the time. We're like, what do people do if you're not married to an actor and you have a kid? How do you make self-tapes? Like, how? I literally have no idea. My kids just started dropping her nap, so she used to have like a 2-hour nap in the day, which was the self-tape window. Like, that was it, right? Like, you're like, okay, that's when we make the self-tape. And that's only because we know exactly when she's going for her nap. My husband's an actor. We've got the setup ready to go. We're on. But now she doesn't nap. And if you had your other half is like, just, I don't know, works in a shop. Like, and just, you know, isn't comfortable with reading. I don't know what the fuck you would do.
I know. Like, impossible.
Literally impossible. Like, what? I just don't get it. I think people just do that thing where they record themselves and like kind of talk to themselves. I think they do that.
Yeah, I guess. Or try and get a friend who's an actor. But I mean, I guess a lot of people don't have that. I don't know.
Well, and also with just like lockdown in general, it's been, although I suppose there'd be less tapes being made in lockdown in general, but I don't know. It's just, I don't know how people do it. I've heard a lot of chat of people saying, you know, like, oh gosh, don't be married to an actor. Terrible. Oh my God. But actually.
Very convenient at times.
Yeah. Which is why I married him. It was very convenient. I just wanted a Canadian passport.
Just needed someone who was good at self-tapes.
Yeah, I just really needed some help with my self-tape.
Do you have a Canadian passport?
I actually don't, you know.
But you've got Japanese and British?
No, I've had to give up my Japanese passport too. So when you're in the UK, you can have dual citizenship. But I was born in Tokyo, but I had to give up my Japanese passport when I was 18, or was it 16?
Oh.
Well, it doesn't matter. But I had to give it up because in Japan, you can't have dual citizenship. Like, you have to pick.
Really?
Yeah, they won't let me be like Japanese and British. So like, if I wanted to keep my Japanese passport, I'd have to sort of forego my British one, which obviously
That's so brutal.
Yeah, yeah. So I had to let it go, which was a real bummer.
I gasped in the Spooks film where you get shot. So I thought you were going to... And then she's wearing a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, love man.
It. That must have been fun.
It really was. Although it was quite distressing because we shot that on Waterloo Bridge, which is one of my favourite places in London. Because, you know, you've got that such a cool view like of everything on either side. You've got the National and the London Eye on one side. And then you've got like Houses of Parliament and Big Ben on the other and everything. It's just great. It's really busy, you know, that's like a really sort of central bridge, like linking two really popular sides of London. And when we were shooting it, you know, you can close down the streets to a certain extent, but you can't, you know, there's still people walking past. So like the whole idea was that it was shot a little bit like undercover, spook style, you know, people walking past. And so like, we'd just be walking along and then I'd get shot and like have to like be pulled back on this wire. And like, I think people were genuinely like, oh my God, there's been like some sort of awful terrorist attack on Waterloo Road. Waterloo Road? Waterloo Bridge.
Waterloo Bridge. God, that plane looks good. It's got like this. My...
Yes.
Oh, can you see that?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I just can't get over her perfect ass. It's just a really good bum.
But what about the candle?
Yay!
Okay.
Look at that. Beautiful.
And that's my neon spray.
It's perfect.
It looks like a sort of perfume advert, doesn't it?
It does, actually. It's a really beautiful perfume altar. There's lots of stuff, guys, if you want to check out more about candle magic. I'm sure you will, on Google, will give you a lot more detail than I have been doing.
I'd love it if just nothing came up. This whole thing is just, you've absolutely lost the plot.
Absolutely lost the plot. We should have just done a drawing of like stick men. I'm so sorry. I've loved this
so much.
Am I the weirdest person you've had on? Be honest, Annie. I can take it.
You're not the weirdest person, but this is definitely the sort of strangest angle it's taken. And I've really loved it. Quick fire round. Oil or watercolour?
Oil.
Contemporary art or old masters?
Contemporary art.
Modern or period dance?
Ooh, modern dance.
Saviors or walkers?
Walkers.
Cuffs or crufts?
I'm going to go for cuffs.
Dogs or cats?
Controversial, cats.
Ooh, portrait or landscape?
Portrait.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
No.
Tortured artist or rational MI5 agent?
Tortured artist.
Talk about or think about art?
Think about art.
Private view or view of privates?
View of privates.
Painting from life, landscape or still life?
Painting from life. That's a three option one. Life, landscape.
Yeah, sorry. Painting from life, landscape or still life. So like a naked woman, a countryside or a tree?
Naked woman, life.
Life. First kiss?
Yes.
Art or tech?
Art.
Art or books?
Books.
Art or food?
Food.
Is what you do art?
Yes.
And finally, dicks or pussies?
Oh, that's so hard. But right now I'm going to say pussies.
It's incredible. I mean, normally we do like a mark out of 10 for commitment and technique, and obviously I have no idea how to mark this. I'm going to give you 10 out of 10 for both because I don't know what we've just done, but I've absolutely loved it, and what you've created is beautiful and insane. And
Annie, you're so kind and generous because I've just made you do something that is completely off topic, and I can't believe
I've never done this before.
Oh my God, you're never going to do it again. But if you do, obviously call me. If you ever need some tips on wanking off your candles, then
thank you.
I'm your gal. Can I look at yours again?
Yeah, you can. I've blown the candle out because obviously I've got to give it to
You've got to give it to your mum. It's so beautiful.
So from that way around, boobs, bra, pants.
It's amazing. Oh, the other thing, you know, just to fully commit to my my weirdness project here that we've just embarked on, the weirdness journey. Are you okay?
Inhaled my pillow spray.
How was that for you? She's
quite
off
good,
her face,
actually.
Ladies and gentlemen. She's high as a kite.
Yeah.
So when this all kind of goes down, and the idea being if you lit your candle and it would all, you know, get into your altar, pool around, then you kind of got this plate. Oh, did I bring mine over? I had one from earlier that I made. Here's one I made earlier. And the idea being that you then, you can keep it, like, you know, as a sort of keepsake or whatever, to remember what your intention was. Or I think traditionally, and I mean this sincerely, the witches used to go to a crossroads and bury it at a crossroads. Something about the energies of something going different in different directions, and it being something about the cross where you go and like bury it there. And apparently if you go to lots of different crossroads, I mean, anything can technically, two roads crossing can be a crossroad, so maybe not any crossroad,
yeah,
but all around the UK you'll find a lot of candle pools, altars,
really,
bottles, things like that, yeah, by people buried, like they're everywhere. If you're looking, if you know what to look for, you'll be like, oh wow, actually you'll suddenly see them everywhere.
God, so many witches on the road.
So many witches, mate.
Who knew?
yeah
Eleanor, it's been an absolute pleasure. So nice to talk to you.
I'm such a weirdo.
Did you enjoy it?
I feel great. I feel like I want to do more art. I feel like, I'm sorry we didn't do painting, because I probably would have learned more from you.
No, not at all. I'm glad.
How to draw, but
this is not what I expected at all, and I loved it. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, then lead us not into temptation. I meant to say leave us. Leave us a nice rating and review. If you want to see our creations from the episode, then we've posted photos on our Instagram and Twitter at Secret Art Pod. The beautiful candle I use in this episode is from a company called Trippy Tuesday, who pride themselves on body positivity. So check them out. They're on Instagram, trippychoose.day. Eleanor's on Instagram at Eleanor Matsura. I'm at Annie McTweet on Twitter and at McGrath.Annie and at McGrath.Art on Instagram. I'm also selling Christmas cards on Etsy to raise money for NHS Charities Together. So check out my website, amcgrath.art, if you want to buy some of those. If not, have a lovely time, whatever you're up to. Until next time, goodbye. Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.